We welcome you all to our service this morning in the Lord's name, as the Lord will bless our coming together today. Just a reminder not to drop your guard in social distancing or hand sanitizing. All these restrictions are in the building for your well-being and for that of others. Baskets at the doors for offerings, building fund is today. All loose collections plus building fund envelopes go to the building fund. Seasons of prayer, we can't have these really at the moment, just before the services, so do please remember Sunday afternoon, do meet in your home and have times of prayer even before coming to services and as you come and as we come to worship the Lord. Again tonight, car park gates are open for the drive-in service. The drive-in service would be at 7 p.m. tonight. I will be the preacher. The soloist will be Mr. Tommy Gilmore. This is the final drive-in service for this series. We appreciate all who have faithfully supported these over the past months. We know it has been a help to many during this particular difficult period. Special thanks to Ken Reed for the loan of his trailer and for the men who have been so faithful in setting up the equipment each week and making it possible for that to happen. We are considering introducing moderate singing at our services in the next weeks, but if you have particular difficulty or concerns about this, please speak to me or a member of session. Regarding the various aspects of the work, we are keeping all under constant review and would hope later to be able to make some announcements regarding to our Sunday school, etc., and the work of God. These are trying times for us all. We have to keep people safe, but we want to open up as many of the activities as possible for us to do in the days that are to come. We've changed our prayer meeting to Wednesday night. I'm conscious that may not suit everybody, but it is again to do with cleaning in the church so that we don't have to clean in between, and we hold it in the church here, and it's well spaced out. So we encourage, if you're able to come out and you're not symptomatic of COVID or anything like that there, then come out please and join us for prayer at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. The Bible study and prayer meeting, we're continuing our survey of New Testament books. We commenced on Wednesday night with Matthew, and this week we will move to Mark's Gospel. So remember that please. And also the Lord's Day services, they will be uploaded onto Sermon Audio. You can link in with that on Sermon Audio, or people that cannot get out at present. Morning worship in the church next Lord's Day, and the evening gospel service will be in the church hall. We will move from the church to the church hall at night again. It's to do with cleaning, so that we can move in there in the evening time for now. Again, these are different circumstances we have at present, but we have to work with it, brethren and sisters, and you've been very good in doing that, and we appreciate that. I will be the preacher at both services. The final service with us, Mr. Andrew Murray, who's been assisting us in the work during the past year, will be on Wednesday, the 16th, Wednesday the 16th of September at 8 p.m. Mr. Murray will speak to us. There will be a retiring collection for his work, for him really, for as he leaves us and hopefully moves into a church if the Lord opens the door for him. The graduation service and Martyrs Memorial will this year be on the 14th September. It is by invitation only because of the COVID. So it will be up on Sermon Audio. You can view it from there. Please remember that. During again these circumstances, it will be streamed live on Sermon Audio on that occasion, Monday the 14th. Youth Council Rally again will be online this Friday night, the 11th. On live at 8 p.m. on Facebook page, youth page there, Youth Council page on Facebook, and also on YouTube channel. You can link into that. Young people, please remember this, and please, parents, encourage your young people to go online and to join with others on that youth service. That's this Friday night. I think these are all the announcements that we have to make. Now we're going to have The Lord's My Shepherd up on screen, and Robert's going to play it, and we'll just be seated so you can enjoy the words of it. We're not singing today, but I trust you'll enjoy the words of The Lord's My Shepherd. Unite together in prayer. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come, O God, before thee to seek your face and to call upon thee for your blessing, to ask, O God, for your favor and for your presence and your power, even in our midst this morning. We pray, O God, that thou wilt speak to our hearts from thy word. We pray that, Lord, thou wilt do us good as we meet together in thy house this morning. We're conscious, Lord, of these times in which we're living, and yet we know, O God, that thou art in control of all things, and thou doest all things well. And therefore we submit to thy will, knowing, our God, that thou wilt work out thine own purpose in relation to our present circumstances. We pray, O God, that thou wilt move, Lord, thou who dost move in a mysterious way, that thou wilt move in our midst in these times, that thou wilt speak to the hearts of thy people, even our own congregation. We know there are many who are afraid or concerned about coming out to the house of God and being in a confined space. And Lord, we just pray that you would help them and comfort them at this time. Those who may be shielding and have to stay in for reasons, O God, like that, we pray, O God, that thou wilt help them, that thou wilt be with them. And we pray that in weeks to come, we may be able to join in a fuller way in a congregation more fully attended in weeks to come. We commend, O God, thy people to thee. And if there are any who have grown complacent through this and grown cold and Lord, just not bothering to come out, we pray, O God, that thou wilt stir their hearts, that thou wilt give them again a renewed interest. Surely all that has taken place ought to stir our hearts as thy people. And give us, Lord, a greater love for thee, greater love for your house, a greater desire to be in the place of prayer, a greater love for your word and the things of God. We pray that thou wilt stir our hearts. Lord, it grieves us even today to have to announce that the church meetings have been curtailed and things like that. But Lord, we leave it all with thee, and we pray that in weeks to come we may be able in some way to get these meetings up and going again. And we pray, Father, that whether it's, Lord, in the building itself or online, we'll be able to do something in order to keep in contact with the boys and girls and with young people. Lord, we commend, O God, the work of God to thee. We pray that thou wilt bless our session and all the decisions we have to make. We pray for wisdom for our presbytery and for our committee here in the church as well. We pray that thou wilt guide us in these days, that thou wilt direct us, that thou wilt meet our need, meet the need of every family in the church. We know parents sending children to school, again, big challenges are there. Those going to university, etc. We pray that thy hand will be upon all such. Lord, that thou wilt bless, that thou wilt guide, that thou wilt direct. In all things, O God, that thy name will be exalted, thy name greatly glorified, praised and honored. Lord, we look to thee for thy presence with us and thy hand upon us this morning and throughout this day. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading together from the Word of God in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians and the chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And reading together from the verse number 1. Colossians 3 and the verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ to us our life shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things seek the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We're going to have a further hymn now on the screen, and we trust that you will again follow it as it's on the screen. If you have a hymn book of your own, of course, you may want to turn it up. It's number 371, My Jesus, I Love. This time we will stand, just because it's going to change your position. You're sitting. So we're going to stand, and you can follow through again as Robert plays this. I'm going to sit because I'm standing all the time. know you're all dying to sing it out, as I was. But we'll take it easy. So again, we say, in a few weeks' time, we plan to introduce some moderate singing, not blasting it out. But if you have real difficulty with that, please speak to me or a member of session, and we look at that. We don't want people to be feeling they can't come because we're singing, so we're conscious of that as well. So please keep that in mind. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Boys and girls, don't think we've forgotten about you, but when more boys and girls start to gather in and we have more in, we will start the children's thing again. So it's not forgotten about, so keep that in mind, boys and girls, please. Colossians chapter 3. We're in this portion of Scripture. We've been in the book of Colossians in recent times, and we want to return to it again this morning. The third chapter, verses 10 and 11, are the verses we're looking at particularly today. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. As we've said, we've been over a period of time looking at the book of Colossians and seeing how God, through the Apostle Paul, was directing this church in relation to doctrine, particularly in the first two chapters. But then as he comes on in this epistle, as he writes to them, he speaks in relation to duty. And when we come to the third chapter, that's where we come to. You see, it's all right knowing the doctrine. And the things that we must adhere to are vitally important. And the things that we must hold to as far as the Word of God is concerned. But we also need to recognize that this is to be lived out as far as our lives are concerned. We are to live out in daily experience the Word of God. In the opening verses, and Paul here in chapter 3, he talked about seeking the sublime. If ye be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above. Set your affection, he said in verse 2, upon things above and not on things of the earth. And so there is the seeking of the sublime. But then there is, in verses 5 to 9, the slaying of sin. He says in verse 5, mortify or put to death your members which are upon the earth. And then he lists the various sins that we must put off. Put off these things, slaying the sin in verses 5 to 9. But now today, as we come to the third aspect of this, we think about strengthening in the Savior. The strengthening in the Savior. Look at verses 8 to 9 of this portion. Put off these things, he says. But now we come to verses 10 and 11, put on the new man, he says. Put on things we are to put off or discard. But then the things which we are to put on, the things that we are to have demonstrated in our lives from day to day. You see, because we are alive in Christ, we must seek those things which are above. And because we died with Christ, we must put off the things that belong to the earthly past life of sin. The result is that we can become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God wants us to renew. He wants to make us into the image of His Son, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek verbs here, to put off in verse 8 and to put on in verse 10, indicate a once for all action. When you trust Christ, when you put off the old life and put on the new, the old man has been buried and the new man is now in control. But the verb translated renewed has the sense of one who is constantly being renewed. You see, my friends, this morning, the crisis of salvation leads to the process of sanctification, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, sanctification is an ongoing thing. From the moment of our conversion to the moment of our glorification, from the moment we are saved until the moment we enter in to the presence of the Lord in glory. That definition of sanctification that is given in the Shorter Catechism has within it the words, dying more and more unto sin and living more and more unto righteousness. Living more and more unto Christ. The Greeks had two different words for new. One meant new in time. The other means new in quality or fresh. And sometimes the two words are used interchangeably in the New Testament. But there still is a fundamental difference. You see, the believer has once and for all put on the new man. And as a consequence, he or she is being constantly renewed. Being renewed day by day. There's a change in quality. For they are becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the new man is Jesus Christ. The last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:45. He is the head of the new creation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Paul said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In Rome, Augustine, Monica's hitherto sinful, Christ-rejecting son found the Savior. And the verse that was used in the conversion of Augustine was this verse in Romans 13, 14. And put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Maybe you're here today, still Christ rejected, still in your sin, still holding to the ways of the world. Oh, that you will put on today the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will know what it is to be clothed in the garments of His salvation and saved by His matchless grace. How does this renewal come about? Well, if you look here at verse 10 of Colossians 3, it says, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Renewed in knowledge. The word knowledge is one of the key terms in the vocabulary of the Gnostics. But their so-called knowledge could never change a person's life to make that person like the Lord Jesus Christ. Many there are in this world, and even sitting in our churches, who have a head knowledge of these things.
who know the doctrines of the gospel. They know the truths of God's word, and perhaps even you this morning. But yet you have not had a heart experience of Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We were formed in God's image, and we were deformed from God's image by sin. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be transformed into God's image. We can be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And as we grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, we will be transformed by the Spirit of God to share in the glorious image of God. This is how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. He said this, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Listen. Changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God transforms us by the renewing of our mind. See what Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, listen, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this transforming by the renewing of our minds involves the study of God's Word. It is the truth that sets us free from the old life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, God's purpose for us is that we are conformed, as Paul said in Romans 8:29, to the image of his Son, conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about this, it refers to character. That is the spiritual quality of the inner man. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be like him, for we have glorified bodies. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 concerning this very matter, 1 John 3, and the first three verses, behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Listen, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. C.H. Spurgeon, one occasion, received a copy of Andrew Bonner's commentary on the Leviticus. It so blessed him that he returned it to Bonner, saying, Dr. Bonner, please place herein your autograph and your photograph. The book was returned to him with the following note from Andrew Bonner. Dear Spurgeon, here is the book with my autograph and with my photograph. If you were willing to wait a short season, you could have had a better likeness. For I shall be like him. I shall see him as he is. And what a day that will be when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, when we meet with our Savior. Aren't you looking forward to that? When you will be glorified. in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Gypsy Smith, preaching at Dallas, Texas, had a petition from colored minister asking for a meeting exclusively for them, and they came in their thousands. There's a great deal of punctuating of his address with amens and hallelujahs. Suddenly an aged woman called out, "Gypsy Smith, may I ask a question?" And looking at her, he said, "Certainly, my sister, what is it?" She said, "What color are we going to be when we get to heaven? Shall we be white or black?" Everybody was waiting breathlessly for Gypsy Smith's answer. And then he replied, "My dear sister, we are going to be just like Christ. We are going to be just like Christ." What an answer. And how that is true for all of us. We are going to be just like Christ when we know Him and trust Him as our Savior and enter into the joy of our Lord. We will be like Him. But while we're waiting for His return, we can become more like Him. We can share His holy image in a more full way. You think about Stephen. I often think about Stephen. What a man he was. And the Bible tells us there in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, the end of that chapter, and the verse 15, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him," that is on Stephen, "saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." What a countenance. What a display of likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, this is a process of constant renewing as the Spirit of God uses the Word of God. Human distinctions and differences should be no barrier to holy living in the church. Look at verse 11 of chapter 3 of Colossians, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In Jesus Christ, there are no nationalities, neither Greek nor Jew. There is no recognition of former religious differences, circumcision nor uncircumcision. You see, the Gnostics taught that circumcision was important to the spiritual life. But read what Paul says in chapter 2 of Colossians, in verse 11 and following verses. "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised us from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses." What a work the Lord has done for us. What a work the Lord has done. The circumcision of Christ. Praise God. It's not something outward. It's something inward. Something that the Lord has wrought in our hearts and done for us. But Paul taught that the act of circumcision gave no advantages to spiritual life. And also he said, there are no cultural differences here in Colossians 3. Barbarian, Scythian, the Greeks considered all non-Greeks to be barbarians. And the Scythians were the lowest barbarians of all. Yet in Jesus Christ, a person's cultural status is of no advantage or disadvantage. Nor is his economic or political status. Bond or free, he says. Paul made it clear that a slave could try to buy and get his freedom. 1 Corinthians 9, 20 to 23. But he should not think he is handicapped spiritually because of his social standing. All of these human relationships or human distinctions belong to the old man, not to the new man. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul said this, "There is neither male nor female. Christ is all and in all." And Paul's conclusion was this in Galatians 3:28, "For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Thank God for that oneness we have in Christ. That unity we have in the bond of the fellowship of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is wrong to build the fellowship of the church in anything other than Jesus Christ, His person, and His work. Ministries that are built on human distinctions, such as race or color or social standing, are not biblical. One of the evidences of spiritual growth and the renewing of the mind is this willingness to receive and love all who sincerely know and trust and seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gnostic super saints, if you want to call them, were trying to isolate the Colossian believers from the rest of the church, and this was wrong. Paul is addressing this here. Even though physically we do not lose our national heritage when we become Christians, we do not use that heritage as a test for that which is spiritual. Christ is all in all. That's what Paul said here. Verse 11. That's the great emphasis. And the great emphasis on this letter of a whole, this letter to the Colossians as a whole, is Christ. That in all things, said Paul in chapter 1, verse 18, in all things He, Christ, might have the preeminence. Because we are complete in Christ. We look beyond earthly differences that separate people and enjoy a spiritual unity in the Lord. The Gnostic false teachers, like the false teachers of today, tried to rob God's people of the richness of their oneness in Christ. Beware, my friends. Beware. We are alive in Christ. We are alive in Christ. Therefore, we should seek the sublime. Verses 1 to 4. We are dead in Christ. Therefore, we should slay the sins. Verses 5 to 9. Mortify them. And we can become like Christ. Therefore, we seek to strengthen in the Savior. To put on these things. Permit the Spirit to renew our minds, making us more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the beauty of Jesus may be seen in me. All His wondrous compassion and purity, O Thou Spirit Divine, all my nature refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That the world will know, dear friends, that we have been with Christ. You remember Peter and John? In Acts 4, verse 13, they took knowledge of them. That they had been with Jesus. It was said of the saintly McShane, by one who listened to him preach, it was not so much what he said, it was how he looked. The radiance of the Lord Jesus Christ was seen in his very countenance. Remember a man who came to preach in the church that I was brought up in, County Fermanagh, as a boy. He came on certain occasions to preach, maybe when the minister was on holiday or somewhere else. He was just a layman. I remember my dad said, look at that man's countenance, it's shining. He was so different. And I can still visualize that man to this very day, standing in that old pulpit in that old church. The beauty of Christ seen in His very countenance. Oh, that the world would see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. That the world would see in you and I that we have been to Jesus for the cleansing power And we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. May God this morning write His word upon our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt bless us this morning. Through Thy word, we pray that Thou wilt encourage us. Lord, that Thou wilt build us up in our most holy faith. That Thou wouldst draw us ever closer to the wounded side of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might see more, that the world will see more of Jesus in us. And grant that that likeness will be manifested more and more from day to day. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. If you just bear with me for a moment or two this morning. In the work of God, there are always changes. Changes that take place as far as God's work is concerned. And of course, that happens. I'm sorry to disappoint you this morning. I'm not announcing just yet my retirement. But it will come in a few years' time, no doubt. But this morning, we are announcing the retirement of our clerk of session, our brother Hugh Garrett. I know Hugh has warned me very, very little time ago not to be saying much. But I have to do what I'm told. I know he has told me, but the brethren in session and committee would want me, and you all would want me, to recognize 30 years of service. Three ministers. How did you stick us all, Hugh? Well, the end of Mr. Whiteside's ministry, that was, he came in, and then of course all of Mr. Irwin and all of the time I have been here. And I'm going to be brief because I know Hugh doesn't like fuss and all of that, but I have to say these things. Brethren, Hugh has been my right-hand man for all the years I've been here. And I appreciate his friendship, his fellowship, and his dear wife Dorothy as well. And this is, in many ways, a sad day for me in that sense as well. But there are four words that sum up you: calm and courteous. Calm and courteous. Gentle and gracious. Those four words sum up this man. We thank God for him. Now, he's not retiring completely. He will still be an elder in the session, and he's still continuing on as treasurer, the work of the committee, so he's not going out to grass in any sense, but he's just giving up this particular role. I talked to him, tried to persuade him otherwise, but he felt this was the time, and we respect that. And so therefore, this morning, we want to just, in a very tangible way, just as a token, because we cannot really, because Hugh's not a public man, he's a private man, and he doesn't like the public eye, and I appreciate that, but he works a lot behind the scenes and does a lot of work for the church and has done over the years. But Hugh, we would like you, and I have done my hands, Hugh, so there's nothing, I have sanitized my hands, we'd like you to come forward, and if Dorothy would come forward too, please, because we have a little gift for Dorothy as well, and we'd just like to do that now. If you would come forward now, please. Thank you. Just here. Now, normally a lady would come forward to do this, but with the way things are, we can't do that. But you, we'd like to give you this on behalf of the Kirk Session Committee and Congregation. And Dorothy, if you bear with me, it's not usual that the minister hands out the flowers, but Dorothy, I'd like you to, can you manage that okay? You can set it there in a minute. Do you want a photograph? Would you like a photograph, just if we can turn round and maybe, do you want to come down and get a photograph, Heather? Right, we'll just get a brief photograph here with, I'll distance from you and then you can stand here. Right, Heather will come down and do this. You're all right, you're okay. Well, yes, maybe facing the congregation if you don't mind. And I'll stand in behind you. Okay. And Heather, do this.
Thank you, Heather. Okay, thank you very much, and may God bless you both.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Brief word from Brother Hugh here.
Yes, thank you very much for your support over the years. Thank you for your good wishes, and may God bless you and our brother who takes over Bellarmine for the job. Thank you.
Obviously, the session have discussed this matter, prayed over this matter. Our brother James Bennison has been chosen as the new clerk of session. And we trust that James will know the blessing of the Lord upon him as he takes up this role with other members of the session, of course. And we trust that the Lord will bless James and Joan in future days as well. Do keep them in your prayers as you keep our session as a whole, you and Dorothy, in your prayers as well. May the Lord bless you all. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for Hugh Garrett and for Dorothy, his dear wife. We thank you for all that they have meant to this church over the years. And we pray to be long spared to be amongst us. We thank thee, O God, for their Hugh's dedication to the work here. Through thick and thin, he has stood by the stuff. And we pray to you long spare him to minister amongst us as treasurer and even as a ruling elder. We pray, Father, that you'll bless James as he takes up this role. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him. Bless Joan, his wife, and bless all of the Kirk session and all of her committee. Keep thy hand upon us, and Lord, that thou wilt undertake for us in days to come, that we might know amongst us times of refreshing and blessing from the presence of God. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Now again, don't drop your guard. Maybe you want to speak to Hugh, but you can speak maybe outside at a distance to him, but please go out in the normal way and keep your distance even outside in the car park. Thank you very much.